As we hear God's word this morning, I pray that we would see, if you think of the words that we just sung from 102A in the Psalter, in day of grief, hide not your face, your listening ear toward me, O bend, the day I call, your answer send. We can only pray that because, as we'll hear, our Lord, in a sense, prayed that, and the Lord did not bend his ear toward him. He turned his face from him. And in suffering that, he never turns his face from us. So may that be truly a preparation to hear God's word this morning. If you would, please turn to Isaiah 53. And we'll also read from Psalm 22. Isaiah chapter 53. We'll read verses 3 to 11. And then we'll also read some verses from Psalm 22. Isaiah 53, starting at verse 3, let us give our undivided attention to the reading of God's holy word. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. If you would also follow along in Psalm 22. Psalm 22, we'll read verses 1 through 8 and then 14 and 15. Psalm 22, continuing on in the reading of God's holy word. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. Thus far, our reading of God's Word. If you like to follow along in your Bibles, I'd suggest, we're going to look at several passages, but I'd suggest probably to keep it open to Isaiah 53 would be the most helpful. Beloved congregation, dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, earlier in a previous sermon, we heard from John chapter 1 concerning Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the primary truth about Jesus as the Lamb was about sacrifice. That through the sacrifice of Himself, He takes away sin. And now this morning, we hear more of this sacrifice. But especially, how the Bible shows Him to be a man of sorrow. So our theme is, the Lamb of God is a man of sorrows. Our text is especially Isaiah 53 verse 3, where we read that He is a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now, I admit that in some ways I'm open to a charge of using this as a pretext instead of a text. You know, in most preaching classes, they warn students about having some ideas for a sermon and then using a verse here or there as a pretext for the sermon. It's not really a text. However, having said that, in studying this passage, Isaiah 53 verse 3, and especially the verses around it that we read, and then also looking at many other passages in the Bible and seeing how they truly do relate to this truth of a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It's amazing how much the Holy Spirit wrote through so many different writers about this truth of a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And it's not surprising that the oratorio, the Messiah, it also sings from many of these scripture passages that are all about this central truth. That is the truth of our Lord in His suffering. And in suffering in this way. So may we see, brothers and sisters, how wonderful is our salvation. Also, as we hear of the Lamb of God as a man of sorrows. Our first point is, the immense sorrow was inflicted by the Lord because of His fierce anger against His elect. Earlier, in our worship service, we confessed from the Heidelberg Catechism that during all the time He lived on earth, but especially at the end, Christ bore in body and soul the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race. Now, before we go on with our point, we should again be clear that in this we are not confessing that Jesus bore the sin of the whole human race. Rather, we are confessing He bore the wrath of God that was against the sin of the whole human race. And brothers and sisters, that's also what our point is about. You know, there was this immense sorrow and suffering. And as we'll see, by way of some examples, there are so many scriptures that describe it. And so right in the beginning, we have good reason to ask why. Why is there so much in the Bible about this intense suffering? And we'll see more of it in detail in our second point. But it's rather tempting to think of this, as frankly many commentators do, as if the focus of it is the amount of pain that Jesus experienced, that He endured. It was just, you know, because of the amount of pain. But then, there were many throughout history who were, you know, martyrs, who died for some cause or another. And in some cases, they suffered even more horrible deaths. There is something else that must be the focus of scriptures in talking so much about this suffering, about the immense sorrow of our Savior. And this focus in scripture is that this sorrow was inflicted by the Lord. But not only that. After all, you know, man suffers many sorrows, and these too are inflicted by the Lord. But this sorrow was not inflicted on Jesus for what he had done. Rather, it was because of God's anger against, as we confess, against the sin of the whole human race. And he took on that sorrow, that wrath, especially on behalf or in the place of his elect. So it was God's wrath against the whole human race, but he bore it on behalf of those whom he was given to, who were given to him to save. When, in our next point, we hear God's word about that agony in body and soul, and being the most intense suffering, as we hear about that, we need to think of it in terms of God's wrath. A wrath that was to come upon you and me for our sins. So that's why it's important that this point comes first. Lamentations 1 verse 12 speaks of that wrath of God on Jesus when it says this: "Behold and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow, which has been brought on me, which the Lord has inflicted in the day of his fierce anger." We read from Isaiah 53 and verse 8, it says, "For the transgressions of my people he was stricken." And then verse 10 says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief." Well, in our third point, we'll see how this indeed fulfilled the pleasure of the Lord. But for now, we need to see this was the doing of the Lord. So when verse 3 says, "He is despised and rejected by men." And later it says, "We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him." All of that was the Lord's doing. And the ultimate sorrow, suffering, was not just that he had to receive the anger and the hatred of men, as true as that was, but rather it was also that in that, he received the fierce anger of God the Father, his Father. And it's important to think also that, as we confess, he carried this wrath of God, his Father, all the time he lived on earth, but especially at the end. And that end, of course, refers to the days, to the events that lead to his death on the cross. Many of the scripture passages that describe this sorrow, they refer to the process of how he was accused, how he was put on trial, how he was mocked, and so on. Yeah, even while hanging there on the cross. In other words, in the worst of it, he was still being mocked. And when it comes to his dying on the cross, we confess in the Heidelberg Catechism that it had a special meaning that he died on the cross. In other words, that he didn't die a different way. It was not to create a sense of how ugly it was to die this way, though it surely was. It was not to create a sense of the enormous pain, though it was. Rather, he died on the cross because God declared in Deuteronomy 21 and also Galatians 3 that the one who was crucified was cursed by God. So, brothers and sisters, as we go on to our second point, let us remember this. And also let us remember this amazing truth, that he was inflicted with this by the Lord. But as we've seen, not for what he had done, but for what we had done. Indeed, he suffered this willingly and patiently for the sake of what is called his seed. If you look at verse 7 of Isaiah 53, it says, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Well, that shows how willingly he suffered this. How patiently he suffered this for others. And the next verse, verse 8, it goes on to describe the manner of that death. And you know how the Gospels record his last words before he died. One of his last words was this, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the other of his last words was, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then it says, having said this, he breathed his last. He died, bearing the fierce anger of God. But he died in faith and prayer. He was faithful to the end. And that faithfulness is especially important as we look at our second point, when we see his human agony in body and soul was the most intense suffering. You remember that in his incarnation, that means that Jesus was made man while remaining true God. And his agony was in both body and soul. The point is, we should not, you know, somehow lessen the sorrow or lessen the suffering by thinking that, well, yes, he suffered these sorrows, but after all, he was God. No. He was also man. Just like you and me. Except for our sin. Except for the guilt. Except for deserving the sorrows, the wrath. He was just like you and me, true man. When we think of his agony, we always need to remember, as we confess, and we didn't have it this morning earlier, but in Heidelberg Catechism number 16, we confess, God requires that the same human nature which has sinned should pay for sin. The same human nature. That's talking about mankind, the human race. It was man who sinned, and all mankind in that one man. And so there is no other nature. Divine nature couldn't do it. Animal nature couldn't do it. See, an animal as a sacrifice could not pay for the sin of mankind. And nor could Jesus if he had stayed to be only God and not taken on being man. So you see, Scripture, when it speaks of him as a man of sorrows, it focuses on his human agony. that He took on human nature. Because that's our only hope of salvation. Think of what we read in Hebrews 10 for the law this morning. How the sacrifices and the offerings, these were to be made as a reminder of sin, but they were not what God desired. Rather, it says, when He, that's talking about Jesus, when He came into the world, He said, a body You have prepared for Me. Behold, I have come to do Your will, O God. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. It was the will of God that Jesus should be given a body to be made true man. And that, as such, He should be the sacrifice once for all. And so that meant that He must endure human agony in body and soul. So, when we have read in Psalm 22 earlier how it speaks of that He was a man of sorrows, look at how we read that in verse 6 and following. I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see Me ridicule Me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, He trusted in the Lord, let Him rescue Him. Let Him deliver Him, since He delights in Him. Now we know that this is about Jesus. Because this psalm begins with the very words which Jesus said before He died. My God, why have You forsaken Me? It's very clear the agony that is described in this psalm. You know, it is called the Psalm of David. But there was nothing in David's life that compared to what is described here. Here the Holy Spirit, by inspiration, gives to David what Jesus, his Lord. Remember, David called Jesus his Lord. The Lord said to my Lord. So the Holy Spirit gave to David what Jesus, his Lord, would suffer. Imagine the eternal Son of God who was made the Son of Man, saying, I am a worm and no man. And using that term worm, it describes what is the lowest of the lowest. What is trampled on and discussed. What is cursed. And that's what Jesus suffered. Isaiah 52:14 says, His visage, talking about His appearance, was marred more than any man, and His form more than the sons of men. He suffered reproach, scorn, taunting. He was despised. He was laughed at. He was made fun of. And He was especially laughed at and mocked about His trusting in the Lord. Psalm 22, He trusted in the Lord, let Him rescue Him. And we read the same in the Gospels. But that's what they said. He was treated as being totally abandoned by God, and that is also what He suffered. Being totally abandoned by the Father, by His Father. And you see, that's why verse 3 of Isaiah 53 says, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Here He was as the Lamb of God. And we have heard of that. How that means God ordained Him to be the Lamb. To take away the sin of the world. And yet He was despised and rejected. He came to His own and His own did not receive Him. When it says He was acquainted with grief, that word grief in the Bible, it's properly often translated as sickness. But this is not that, you know, He had a sickly body, or it's not about His own sickness. Instead, it has to do with the consequences of sin in this world. And God's wrath upon sin. That's what it has to do with. It has to do with a ruined creation. His creation. He made it, remember? And when he came to it, it was completely ruined. I think I've said this before, but it often strikes me when you read about Jesus here on earth. You know, everywhere he went, it's way different than what we have it because of the good gifts of science and medicine. Everywhere Jesus went, this was his creation. And he just saw one terrible situation after another of sickness and sorrow. So when it says he was acquainted with grief, it's about a ruined creation that's under the curse of God. And you see, now in his sorrows, in his pains, in his sufferings, he's bearing this. This is on him now. And that's why verse 3 talks about we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We did not esteem him. I know people don't like hearing about this stuff. And they'll charge preachers with being, you know, sentimental and all of this. But the truth is, this has to do with being repulsive. So repulsive it could not be endured. So men turned their faces. Verse 7 of Isaiah 53 kind of sums up his sorrows by saying he was oppressed and afflicted. And then, as we've already seen, it shows how he endured it willingly and patiently. But then verse 8 shows what was done to him after this oppression. And frankly, the English translation is rather difficult. But in verse 8, if you look at it, it declares, you know, that after the oppression and judgment, he was taken away. That has to do with being separated from the earth. Going to death as one persecuted, convicted, sentenced as a criminal. And it says, who will declare his generation, for he was cut off from the land of the living? Psalm 22:15 says, he was brought to the dust of death. Well, here is described the hellish affliction that Jesus suffered. He suffered it in the Garden of Gethsemane and then on the cross. You know, when it says, who will declare his generation, that's talking about the fact that there was no one of his time who considered that what suffering he was carrying, they never even thought of it. That it was not his own doing. They never declared it. They never thought of it. That it was for their doing, for their sin, or in general, for the sins of others. And that's how he died. He was brought to the dust of death, the curse. The curse of God, dust to dust and ashes to ashes. Brothers and sisters, as our point says, these verses, and there are many others, they describe a human agony in body and soul as the most intense suffering. Psalm 69:20 describes it this way. Reproach has broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. And that's why, as we heard earlier, Lamentations 1:12 says, behold and see, if there is any sorrow like my sorrow. I pray that we see that we cannot begin to imagine what it meant that our Lord Jesus went through this sorrow, this pain. We can't begin to imagine it, because it was hell. As we also confess in the Heidelberg Catechism, number 4. Let us go on and see about this in our third point. He willingly carried this sorrow to fulfill the pleasure of the Lord for the salvation of many. His most intense sorrow was ultimately the suffering of hell. And in Heidelberg Catechism number 44, it reminds us how we should understand what we say when we confess he descended into hell. And here is our comfort, that my Lord Jesus Christ, by his unspeakable anguish, which we heard in our second point, his pain, his terror and agony, which he endured throughout all his sufferings, but especially on the cross, has delivered me from the anguish and torment of hell. And you see, brothers and sisters, this was the pleasure of the Lord, as we read in Isaiah 53:10. Look at it, Isaiah 53:10. It says, when you, that's talking about Lord in capital letters, Jehovah God, when you make his soul, that's talking about Jesus, when you make his soul an offering for sin, he, that's talking about the Lord, capital letters, he shall see his seed, as we've seen before, that's about the elect. He shall prolong his days, we'll look at that in a bit. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And that's why verse 11 says, he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Because God declares, my righteous servant shall justify many. See, the pleasure of the Lord, it has to do with God's gracious purpose of salvation. That's why verse 10 says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him and to put him to grief. And that his soul was made an offering for sin. And when verse 10 says, he shall prolong his days, brothers and sisters, this is about life after death. Here's a note of resurrection. It's exactly why Psalm 16:10 declares, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You see, the pleasure of the Lord was indeed that suffering, the most intense pain and sorrow unto death. But it also meant the resurrection from the dead. So that, you see, in his life and in his death and in his coming to life again, he fulfills the pleasure or the will of the Lord. He fulfills it because all of it, in it the Lord will see his seed. The NIV there in Isaiah 53:10, when it says his seed, it has the translation offspring. Well, it's referring to those who are born again in Jesus and given eternal life. They were, as it were, in his loins because he was doing this in their place. So, brothers and sisters, having heard all of this, may it help us to understand what Jesus meant, but also to rejoice when he declared to John in Revelation 1:17 and 18 and said, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. In conclusion, dear brothers and sisters, listen again to the words that are found in the Messiah, the oratorio. Because having heard God's word, may we now see more fully how wonderful is our salvation in these truths. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All they that see him laugh him to scorn. They shoot out their lips and shake their heads, saying, he trusted in God that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him if he delight in him. Thy rebuke has broken my heart. He is full of heaviness. He looked for some to have pity on him, but there was no man. Neither found he any to comfort him. Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto his sorrow. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of thy people was he stricken. But thou didst not leave his soul in hell, nor didst thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Yes, by the way, that's from the Old King James. That word hell should be Sheol or Hades. But brothers and sisters, may we in faith look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Brothers and sisters, there is no sorrow that we bear that is like unto his sorrow. And he bore our sorrows. And he redeemed our sorrows. And may that truth keep us from becoming weary and discouraged. Amen. Let us pray. Truly, O Lord, you have fashioned a wonderful salvation for us. We did not deserve the least of it. We were guilty. And yet now in Jesus Christ, we are free from our sins and the guilt of them. May we know your forgiving mercy and your freedom and liberty from the tyranny of the devil and the dominion of our sins. May we see that we have that in Jesus Christ, who endured the worst in our place. So forgive us where we do grow discouraged and we get weary of that which you, in your sovereign pleasure, call us to bear. Grant your grace to us that we may in all things rejoice in the Lord, for we have redemption in him, even in the midst of our deepest sorrows. May your word accomplish the purposes for which you sent it forth here to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.